Welcome back to the second hour of the 29th annual Jack Keenan Christmas Special. Merry Christmas to you and your entire family from our family here at Talk 1300. I'm Gil Roy, and I thank you for spending part of your holidays here with us. As always, I'm thrilled to take you through the next 2 hours here with Jack and his special guests as they share memories of Christmases past and present. And now here he is again, Jack Keenan. And Jack, this Christmas is a little sadder this year because we're missing one of the great big band singers who passed away recently. You knew him. I know him. It was Gary Stevens.
Yes, Gil, thanks for bringing that up. We want to pay a little tribute to Gary. Gary was a pioneer in local television. He was associated with WRGB-TV way back when and a musical group called the After 6-7, and it was just great. And, of course, as you pointed out, Gil, he recorded, believe it or not, he was the first person to record White Christmas. Okay, well, he was then with the Charlie Spivak Orchestra. He said it was a mild hit. Well, not big blockbuster, but it was a mild hit. He was very pleased with it. And then Freddie Martin Orchestra recorded it with Merv Griffin as the vocalist. And then finally, Irving Berlin sat down with Bing Crosby, and of course the rest is history. And again, as I say, Gary was with Channel 6 in those early years. As we all know, Channel 6 is the oldest television station in the country. So we're just going to miss him. And as a tribute to him, we're going to play that recording that we're talking about, White Christmas, and with the Charlie Spivak Orchestra, taking us back to about 1941 or 1942. Sit back and let's listen.
Great to hear.
Gary Stevens, Charlie Spivak's Orchestra, White Christmas. That's great. Gil, why don't you take us on through the rest of the show?
Jack's next guest is the very popular News Channel 13 anchor, Benita Zahn.
Thanks, Gil. Joining us now is a young lady that I have known for very, well, I want to say a lot of years, but then she'll get upset with me.
As long as you call me young.
And, of course, that's Benita Zahn from News Channel 13, WNYT-TV. And happy holidays to you.
To you too, Jack.
It's so nice to have you back. It's been a long time since you've been on this show, but you have been here before, and I'm just delighted that you're back.
Well, I'm thrilled to have the invite. You know, I've been keeping score. You were moving into the naughty category from the nice.
Well, you know, you and I go back over the years into a lot of community service projects. Most notably, I always will remember Anchors Away Ball, Black Tie Gala, up to and including my last one, which you were with me. It was at the Adirondack Park in Saratoga.
Right, it was Arthritis, wasn't it?
It was the Arthritis Foundation.
Right. Actually, Jack,
we didn't call it Anchors Away then, but that's what it was.
I have to tip my hat to you because you, in a sense, took me under your wing when I first came to town, and I didn't know much about doing community service, and I learned so much about it from you, and you really imbued it in me. And it's become my way of life. And I've never had the opportunity to tell you or thank you. And I think if not during the holiday season, then when? But I really owe it. I owe so much of it to you, Jack.
Well, you know, I'll tell you when I first met you, you were doing a little opus on Channel 13 called 7:30 Live.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember?
That's going back.
And you came down. I was a banker in those days, and you came down to the bank. I can't tell you who you interviewed, but you interviewed somebody down there, and that's when I was introduced to you. Of course, I was the public relations guy, so I had to meet Benita Zahn. So that was a good old days.
We've
done a lot of things. And one of my favorite Benita Zahn stories, if I may.
Uh-oh, okay.
And I know you remember this story. I can't remember the organ. It might have been sales and marketing executives. Mm-hmm. We were good. Yeah, she just lit up like the 4th of July. She remembers. Well, let me tell you the story because it's classic. The speaker, I won't mention her name, but she had to be the speaker. She wanted to be the main speaker for the evening because this whole audience was all businessmen, and she wanted to relate to them.
Mm-hmm.
And she got up. This was her first time, I think, doing this. But she got up and she went down. She passed. Now I won't
got
say she passed out.
She got woozy.
Yeah, and down she went. And I got up and I, you know, went over to her and she said, "I got to speak. I have to speak. Let me do it again." So we introduced her again. And you were, by the way, the mistress of ceremonies that night. And she got up again and down she went the second time. So she says, "I have to speak. Let me get up there and let me pull myself together." In the meantime, my mistress of ceremony gets up and she says, "Most of you have come right from work here. Let me run down the lead stories on the 6 o'clock news." Standing ovation, I think you got.
And we just kept nattering on, and it may have been Holy Thursday because the bishop was there, and there was a whole to do over eating meat because they were serving meat, and there was a lot of joking going on about that on top of it. Well, the woman who you referred to, because of that experience, she and I became friends.
I would think so. You saved her.
And she had a lot going on in her life at the time.
Yeah,
and then she saw the doctor after, and the rest of the story is he suspected that when she stood up, she had a blood pressure drop because she had so much going on. Yeah. She wasn't breathing. You know, she was nervous about talking. But since then, she's gone on to be a wonderful public speaker. She's a very successful businesswoman in town and has mentored a lot of women.
I haven't seen her since.
Yeah, and she's done very well. We kid about that sometimes.
Well, we digress a little bit from the holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
So, what's going on? What have you got planned for the holidays?
Even though
this is Christmas Day or Christmas Eve, whichever you're tuned into.
Well, we always have a great time. My bestest friends from college are married to each other, and I'm like an auntie to their kids.
Oh.
So the kids are in, and their oldest son just got married, and we'll spend some time with them. We always do Christmas Eve with them.
Oh,
we will
nice.
Have already hosted about 55 people at our house earlier.
Wow.
Party.
Do you have any special recipes? We seem to have a theme this year of recipes that you would like to pass on to our listeners for Christmas, the Christmas Eve party.
Christmas, you know, there's something that I always love to bring. You know, everybody's doing, you know, does, you know, the baked goods and all.
Sure.
And I figure there's too much. I make spiced nuts.
Spiced nuts.
Yes, and Jack, I'm going to have to bring. You should see the look on Jack's face right now.
Spiced nuts. I'm trying to picture
them. it's basically you candy them. You know.
Okay.
You the first time I ever cooked them, you're supposed to bring it to. It's called a soft ball stage or 236 degrees. You had to see me guessing. You know, and dropping this the candy mixture into the water. But you cook up sugar and a few spices and orange rind, you know, orange peel and cinnamon and nutmeg. Right. And all that, and you cook that up in some milk, mm-hmm. and it all cooks up. And when it gets to the right temperature, you add a little bit of butter and a little bit of a teaspoon of vanilla, and you mix it in, and then you add the nuts, and you quickly stir, and it gets, you know, it thickens up, and you put it out on the wax paper to dry. And
you're making me awful hungry.
Jack, I have to tell you, this is, there are people who, when I walk in during the holidays, they just look and they go, where are the nuts? So the spice nuts, and I also make fabulous potato pancakes. I have a trick to doing that.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
Listen, let's talk a little bit. We talked about when I first met you at Channel 13, but you came from Syracuse, as I recall.
That's right.
You were on a.
I was at the CBS
television?
Affiliate there, yeah.
Okay. Did you do radio?
I did TV there, but I did radio early on in my career, and actually, radio was really my first love.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that.
Because, you know, it's so intimate.
Yeah, it is.
You know, you really feel like you're able to talk to one person.
My next-door neighbor. You're like the next-door neighbor.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that's great. And I'm just so delighted that you're here this year with me, and the absence has been too long. But we've done other things.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
No grass grows under your feet, Jack. You're always busy.
I'm taking life a little easier now. But it has been a lot of good years with you and I together. And I thank you so much for all of that.
Well, thank you.
And I want to thank you again. Happy holidays and the best of the New Year's.
And to you.
Anything exciting happening over there for the New Year? At Channel 13, that is?
You know, we're just forging ahead. I think we have a really solid group. Everybody gets along, and all the oars are moving in the same direction.
I've known most of them over there. So, you know, we're certainly with Jim. Jim's been a guest on this program.
You know, I'll let out a little secret.
Sure.
Jim is very funny. And he delights
he
in making me laugh about 5 seconds before the camera comes on.
I see it on camera.
Right. So if you ever see my eyes twinkling, really twinkling, you know that Jim has just really made me roar. And I'm hanging on for dear life to get through the copy.
You've got a good group. Bob Kovacic, we've worked together.
Paul Cayano.
No, I haven't worked with Paul.
Oh, he's great. He's got two little kids, and we were teasing during the holiday season about, you know, the popular toys. And Paul looked, he goes, please.
Okay.
But no question, I know them all.
We've done, Kumi Tucker's been on. Beth Wertman's been on with the other program, the weekly show I do. They've been on there. But anyway.
And Jessica Layton.
I haven't heard.
And Jess is a hometown girl. She's from Burnt Hills.
Oh, okay.
And so she's with us. She anchors with Jim.
She's doing a nice job there, too,
I must
say.
Yes, yeah. So we have a really nice team. We're just looking forward to doing
more
good
work. You tell those people
work.
I'm going to be after them.
Sold. Tell them, get ready. Jack's calling.
Again, Benita's on. Happiest of holidays. And I want to wish
the
same success
to you and to all of your listeners. I hope this is a very happy and healthy new year.
Amen. Okay, Gilroy, we're going back to you.
Time for another break. Don't go anywhere. There's more fun coming up on the Jack Heaney Christmas Special here on Talk 1300. We're back, and you're tuned to the 29th annual Jack Heaney Christmas Special here on Talk 1300. I'm Gil Roy. Joining Jack for the fourth time here on the Christmas Special is Capital News 9 anchor Julie Chapman. Over to you, Jack.
Thank you, Gil, and joining us now, which has really become a tradition almost. This is the fourth consecutive year. Julie Chapman, Capital News 9, is joining us on this holiday broadcast. Welcome.
It is so nice to see you. I've missed you.
I missed you too, Julie. We used to get together quite often on my weekly show on another station, and I miss you.
Oh, I do too.
You were co-hosting.
I loved it.
Yes.
And we had such chemistry. Remember the good old days?
Yeah, I sure do. And you were my first trivia queen, I think.
Oh, yeah, that's right. When I didn't screw up, when I had to read the question, sometimes I would screw it up and I'd give the answer away.
Yeah.
But it's so nice to see
it's
you.
It's fun. Audiences love it when you make a mistake.
I make plenty.
Oh, no, you're really very professional. I watch you quite often.
Oh,
and
well,
you're doing a great job over at Capital News 9. Let's talk a little bit about Capital News 9. What's happening over there?
Yeah, we're growing and expanding, which is a godsend in this economy. We're so grateful for it. But people are watching the cable channel, and they like it. And we're eventually going to be seen in pretty much all of upstate New York. And we're doing some consolidating because I work for a number of channels. I work for News 10 Now in Central New York and News 10 Now in Binghamton. This is a Capital News 9 based news operation, which is also Time Warner Cable.
Right.
So I work for Capital News 9 in the Albany region, and it's called News 10 Now in the Syracuse and Binghamton areas. And we're eventually going to be all one name, and we're all going to look the same just to make it more efficient. But I mean, a lot of people don't realize Capital News 9 is a big operation.
I know.
We're
I'm realizing it because of you telling me.
We're so much more than just the Capital District, and right. I'm really grateful. Time Warner has put a lot of energy and resources into making us a really strong news operation, and I've been with them for 8 years now from the beginning. I'm so grateful.
That's right. You were there on day one, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, boy, have we changed. It's wonderful.
And it's 8 years now?
Yeah, it's going to be 8 years in 2010.
Just think, half that time you've been on the Christmas show.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But I started with Time Warner 6 months really before they launched because I was part of their launch team.
Uh-huh.
And how we've changed is wonderful, and I'm obviously grateful to people who have cable and watch us on cable because they're a big part of our success. And so far, so good.
Are you one of the last of the originals?
I am the last of the originals. There were five original anchors, and they've all moved on in some capacity.
Yeah.
A few have gotten out of the business.
Yeah.
Brian Taff was our most recent departure. He's in Philadelphia now at an ABC affiliate doing great.
Yeah, that's
and,
nice.
And we miss him. And then I'm the last one standing.
Well, on my show, we've had Jamie Caslow has been over.
She's wonderful.
And,
very nice.
Megan Baker.
She left the business and went on to something else.
She's in public relations, I believe.
Yeah, years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, she left us early on, only after 3 years. She's doing well, though.
We'll have to get out. I think Ryan Peterson's doing a great job on the Capitol tonight.
He is. And he's doing a great job filling in since we lost Brian.
We'll have to get him out here.
Yeah.
And of course, he probably spends all day at the Capitol.
Right.
No, because I see him co-anchoring, too.
Yeah, he does a lot. He's a busy guy, but I'll tell you, we have a lot of good professional people. I'm really proud that they're my co-anchors. Yeah.
Who's your news director?
Gary Holmes. And he's an original member as well. He was part of our launch team. He was actually my producer working 3 a.m. in the morning. He was one of those. I always describe some of these employees, and I'm sure you've worked with them. I'm sure a lot of people have. They're just so talented and so sharp from an entry level that within a couple years, they shoot up through the company in a management capacity. And Gary's one of those people. He's just incredibly talented. He's from this region. He's like me, where he wanted to plant roots here, and he did. And he used to work at ESPN before he came here.
Oh, wow.
So he's our news director now.
He's got to be well-versed and well-talented.
Oh, yeah. He's very good, very sharp, and he is just natural manager. Very good.
Okay. Well, let's talk about Christmas.
Oh, I love Christmas.
Now, I know that it's going to be big to-dos at your house, right?
Oh, you know what? I have a 7 and 9-year-old.
I know. And I can remember the first time you come on the Christmas show, you brought one of the children with you.
I did. My daughter, Amanda, my redhead girl.
Yeah. I always remember that.
Oh, yeah.
And so what's planned? What's going on?
Well, it's a very busy time in my house, as everybody who's listening, I'm sure, and very excited for Santa because, you know.
Good old Santa.
Santa is everything in our house.
This is his big night.
And you know what we did this year that was really great? And I don't know if some of your listeners have seen this in the stores. It's called Elf on the Shelf. It's this little elf you can buy with a book. You can get it at any bookstore. And all season long, we've done this. He comes to your house, and you put him on the shelf, and the story is that every night he flies to the North Pole, and in the morning he's in a different location. But you can't touch him because he'll lose his magic. But what he does is he reports to Santa how you've been.
Wow.
So anytime there's an argument or anytime there's somebody getting upset, it's shh. Our elf is watching.
Wow.
And every morning the kids have been so excited to wake up and look for what location he's in now. So if anybody has seen this, it's really a great So it's a great thing to do when you have little kids.
He too knows who's naughty and nice.
Oh,
eh?
Right, and he reports. And we reports. Like those reporters.
Right, shades of Perry Como. Yeah. Oh, that's great.
You look fabulous, and I know Christmas is big for you too.
That's radio. You always look good on radio.
Oh, that's what I like about radio.
I see you're all dressed up in your red suit your white wig. You look like Santa Claus today.
No, I did what I could.
So anyway.
Just
so
for
that's,
you.
Those are your Christmas plans, and yeah. You've already told us what's going on for the new year.
Yeah.
What is the most exciting story you had in the past year?
Oh, boy, there's
that's
been
a tough one,
so
it?
Many. There has been so many. Oh, geez, I can't even think off the top of my head.
You don't get out and do the actual reporting, other than if somebody comes into the studio.
No.
I know you don't get out into the field.
And you know what? I really miss that, because my whole career, this is my fifth station. My whole career, I've always been a reporter. I've always been out there. But this is such a different world, because when I go into work every day, I do a bunch of stories for Albany. Then I do a bunch of stories for Syracuse, Pittsfield, Mass., Watertown, Binghamton. So I'm so busy in my day just doing the news for upstate New York, I can't really go out and focus on one story and meet the people and talk
I used to do that. Right.
But there's been so many great stories this year.
It's
hard to name
one.
I'll tell you, recently in the news, following the Joe Bruno trial, was extremely enlightening and extremely interesting.
Yeah.
And that was something. And, you know, Elliot Spitzer, there's been so much political news this year. David Patterson.
Yeah, so. I'll tell you, the New York State Assembly, New York State Senate.
That whole Senate coup that happened this summer, that was really something unprecedented.
That must have kept you busy.
Very busy. And what's good about what our operation is as well is the fact that there were so many local stories that were also statewide stories, such as the Senate coup and anything with Spitzer and Patterson. And so we were able to really provide a good service to everybody throughout upstate New York with that.
Yeah.
So I was proud of that, that I belong to an operation that can serve.
Listen,
like
let's talk a little bit about the past.
Okay.
Where's home?
Binghamton,
New York, right?
Yeah, I was born and raised there.
Uh-huh.
And I'm half Italian. Which I've mentioned, so we always had the Italian Christmases.
Right.
All the fish and tradition and all the family. We used to go to midnight mass because I'm also Catholic. And what I loved when I was a little kid was we would go to midnight mass, and I was so excited to hold the candle at midnight when they would shut all the lights off in the church, and we would sing Silent Night.
Oh,
I think many churches still do that.
Yeah, I don't know.
In the capital region, the church I attend, doesn't do that. But I really wish it did, because I remember being little, and I was so excited for Santa that, you know, you would sit down and you'd go to church and you were so tired because it was midnight.
Right.
But you would hold the candle, you would sing Silent Night, and I knew that it wasn't long before, sleep, you wake up. And,
I know.
Yeah.
Once through that with my children, went through that myself, going to midnight mass in St. Patrick's in Troy. I was on the altar, actually. And bring back some memories, even though I'm not from Binghamton.
Were you an altar boy?
Absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely.
See?
We used to wear special cassocks and surplices at midnight mass. And it's a wonder I didn't fall asleep on the altar, but I was just a kid. But those were the good old days.
Yeah, I'm back right into it. My son is 9. He just made his reconciliation. And my daughter's 7. She's making her first Holy Communion.
Oh,
so
that's wonderful.
We're back into church, and they're doing so many wonderful things.
You stay there, young lady.
Yeah, as far as the what they did for the needy this holiday season was really great, how they incorporated the kids in not just bringing in food for the food pantry, but the shopping for a family and thinking of other little kids who may be less fortunate. It was really great, and the kids enjoyed it and really learned something from it.
Right. Well, listen, as I said at the top of this interview, this is the fourth consecutive year. Whether you can make it or not next year, you will get invited.
I wouldn't miss it.
You will get invited.
You better invite me or I'll be mad.
You want to co-host it?
I will co-host it.
You wouldn't have the time.
Oh,
this is a three-hour show.
I know, and I know half your guests I could, but I just like spending time with you and seeing you.
Same
because
here.
You know, Jack, you are one of my very favorite people.
Oh, thank you so much, Julie. And I want to wish you all the best in the coming year. You know, you really have earned it, and you deserve it.
Oh, thank you. Merry Christmas to everybody listening, and especially to you, Jack, because I think you're just wonderful, and I love your family, and
thank you
I just
so
think
much,
you're great.
Julie.
So thank you for inviting me.
God bless. Okay, Gil, it's back to you.
Well, now it's time for another short break, and we'll be back with more guests and fun on the 29th annual Jack Keenan Christmas Special. Just ahead on Talk 1300. Merry Christmas once again from all of us here on the annual Jack Keenan Christmas Special, now in its 29th year. Jack's guest in his next segment is James Todisco, New York State Assemblyman representing the 110th Assembly District, and you'd better get out a pen, because I'm sure Jim will be sharing some of his favorite family recipes with you. Over to you, Jack.
Thanks, Gil. Once again this year, joining us for our annual Christmas special is Assemblyman Jim Todisco, who was really one of the highlights of the program because his recipes are well-received by our audience. Assemblyman, welcome aboard.
Jack, don't let my mother hear you saying it's my recipes because they're all mom's recipes.
Oh, okay.
And as you've noticed today, we maybe talk about this a little bit more towards the end here. Mom wanted to congratulate you. And by the way, a few things have changed since the last time I was here with you last year. My favorite senior citizen, Beatrice Todisco, my mom, turned 94 years young on October 13th of this year.
God love her.
And in your honor, knowing that this is a staple for our family, that we listen to your Christmas show every year. And is it 29 or 30 years now?
This is the 29th year.
29th year. And I think mom has been there for most of them. She's 94. She wanted me to bring to you her best baked Italian cookies, and these are her number one. We like the Iwans.
That's wonderful.
Those are the ones you bite into, and the sugar flies all over the place. These are even more tasty. They're called Crescent.
Crescent.
Okay, yes.
Keep that in
and,
mind.
They're very
they look
delicious.
Beautiful. That's for sure. And you thank her. Please thank her.
I will.
I deeply appreciate that.
I want to congratulate you for making this a staple in the capital region here.
Well,
wish you the merriest of
it does
Christmas.
Seem to become something that people are getting used to.
Well, I talk to a lot of families, and they look forward on that particular day with the family, right, listening to all the guests you come in and bring in, the exciting things to learn about their traditions.
I hope Paul Vandenberg is listening to you.
Good. He's got to keep you here. You've been on a few other spots, but... I heard they increased the volume of the station, so you can even get it at night now.
That's correct. That's
fantastic.
Correct, yeah.
And, of course, to all those listening who I know are listening at the holiday time, I want to wish them a very Merry Christmas, great for the holidays, Happy Hanukkah. And we know that we talk a lot about the family aspect of it and the food aspect of it and the traditions, but for those of us of the Christian faith, of course, the important part of this is the birth of our Savior and providing our salvation. So right, it's always special for our family in that sense.
Right. What I want to know, Jim, is what it was like growing up at Christmas time for you. I mean, you're a native of Schenectady.
Schenectady,
yeah,
in the capital region.
Yep. Yep. And Schenectady's still in the capital. Yes. Okay.
Yep.
But what can any memorable Christmases that you can come up with? I know your families got together on Christmas Eve, but yep, any other thing?
Well, there was always a lot of excitement, although we didn't have a lot of money. My dad, we made out some lists, but we always didn't get a lot that was on that list. If you got one or two things or you shared one or two things, my father was a great man. He worked in the foundry in the General Electric for 40 years. And
wow.
If you know anything about the foundry, Jack, it's the most difficult place to work that you could have ever thought of. They didn't have those OSHA regulations for protections
right
there. And I remember one day, I went to Bishop Gibbons High School, and I was a pretty good athlete over there. But I didn't start out as a great student. I'll never forget the day he woke me up in the morning, and it was a couple days before Christmas. He said, today, you're going to come down the foundry and work with me for one full shift. I'll sit you on the side. He brought me in. He said, put on these work clothes. I said, I don't need work clothes. They look kind of geeky, Dad. No, you have to put those work clothes on. And we opened the door, and I have to tell you, Jack, if there was ever a hell on earth, ooh, it was that huge foundry that we walked into,
right,
red-hot molten steel over our heads. The soot was so thick, you couldn't see 2 feet in front of you. My ears were ringing at the end of a shift, like a clanging, banging sound.
You stayed the whole
stayed for an eight-hour shift, watched my father work under some terrible conditions.
Oh.
But here's the kicker. We went back into the locker room, and... he pulled out some Kleenex. I looked in the mirror, and I was full of soot. And he says, here, take these. And I started to wipe my face. He goes, don't worry about that. You're going to take a shower. blow your nose now. And I hope everybody's done with their dinner, but this is important to say. It illustrates what kind of work ethic my dad had, because he worked 40 years under these conditions.
I was just going to say, 40 years under those conditions.
Tremendous.
Right?
I blew my nose, and you wouldn't believe the chunks of dirt and soot that actually came out.
Wow.
One day I was there.
Wow.
And I looked at my father. He looked at me. He grabbed me by the shoulders. And I believe we had tears in our eyes. And he said, now look, son, you can go back to Bishop Gibbons. You can work hard and get an education. You can play basketball. I'll buy you those Converse sneakers. Back then, the Converse sneakers were the great sneakers, $15. In fact, you're going to get some good sneakers for Christmas.
Right.
And he said, and you can go to college and get an education. Or I can find you a job in the foundry. Well, Jack, I knew one thing. Two things. I love this man more than I could love anybody in my entire life for the sacrifices he made. I was going to go on to college, which I did, and I was not going to work down the foundry. So that Christmas was one that I will always remember, because that lesson led up to the lesson later on in life. That
you got the message.
Tremendous work
yeah.
ethic. You go to work, you do a good day's job, and I have to tell you, when the budget was like 5 to 10 years late in New York State, I put forth a piece of legislation to penalize the legislature, one day's pay for every day the budget's late. And they allowed me to make the presentation of the resolution on the floor because I wanted to tell this story about my father.
Uh-huh.
He never went to work. He never sat there and didn't do his job and expect to get paid. And that's what I told the legislators that day. And I said, you're causing a lot of pain for your constituents. My father and the people in my district don't go to work, sit there, and expect to get paid, and you shouldn't either. Wake up and do your job or lose one day's pay, just like you're causing pain for your constituents. So I remember
that Christmas. The big question, was it passed, Jim?
You know what they did with that bill? Of course, they can't do anything that really impacts some real pain with them. They have now passed legislation to defer our pay. In other words, until a budget is passed, we don't get a check. But I said, that's not what my idea is. No. Nobody's going to really want to work hard to get the job done. And by the way, I said, if you don't want to be a part of this process, just let three guys in a room do this. Go back home and put up aluminum siding, I said, and do something else productive.
Right.
So it generated some interest in my colleagues getting involved more. And finally, we've started to pass budgets on time.
I just want to defer a little bit. You mentioned high school and you were in sports.
Yes.
Now, didn't you not teach for a while? And I think you taught one of my children.
Yeah.
I have seven, so I can't remember which one it was, but Bethlehem Central.
I taught at Bethlehem Central for 5 years, and before that, 5 years at Bishop Gibbons High School.
Uh-huh.
I was a guidance counselor, health teacher, athletic director, and I was the varsity basketball. You know, at those Catholic schools, you do about 12 different things. I also think I was the janitor for a while. I had to line the football field. And then after I left there, I did go to Bethlehem Central. I believe I did teach
one of my children,
one of your children. That's a great school, Bethlehem Central, and Bishop Gibbons is an outstanding school.
Okay, well, now listen, we still got some time. Are we going to get any recipes, or is everybody going to have to call your office to get these recipes?
Well,
the
recipe for these cookies I'm giving you right now, my mother has only given out to two other people.
Oh,
they're so secret and they're so good. I mean, every time somebody eats those, they say, "Can I have the recipe?" And I go to my mother, I beg her. And she says, well, a few people I've been able to get the recipes for. But you know the way we have a traditional Italian meal.
Yeah.
And we don't have bread. We have what's called sapola. And sapola is this large dough that my mother makes with a lot of herbs in it. Pulls it out, and it's almost like pizza frite, but much better. And as I mentioned last year, she puts anchovies or raisins inside of it.
Wow.
And the outside is very crisp like a bread should be, and the inside is very delicious. And we just like fish on that day, and that's the traditional Italian food. And we have schmelt, fried schmelt. And then I think I told you last year about the bacalà we have, which is actually this wonderful fresh white cod.
Right.
And she makes that in three different ways. Cuts it in cubes, puts it in a salad with olive oil and Italian vinegar and tomatoes and peppers and Italian olives, and that's just delicious cold. Then she makes a marinara sauce with the cod, bakes it in the oven, and we love that. But mine is what I call fish and chips. She fries it on top of the stove, these beautiful wedges of cod. We call it bacalà in Italian. Mm-hmm. And it's so crispy on the outside but so soft in the inside. And, of course, then you've got to have macaroni. But it's not macaroni with a red sauce. It's macaroni aioli with olive oil. And I hate to say this, but she puts the anchovies in that, too. And by the time that's cooked down, it gets a little reddish, but you can't even taste the anchovies. And then for a kicker, we have stuffed mushrooms. We have stuffed tomatoes. We have stuffed peppers. But one of the best things at the Hall End is stuffed artichokes, which we call cachoffles in Italian.
Uh-huh.
And she puts those artichokes in a big pan with water almost up to the top and cooks them for about 4 or 5 hours. The stuffing is delicious. Of course, the way you eat the artichoke is you take the meat and pull it through your teeth. And then the treat at the end is to eat the heart of the artichoke.
You're making me so hungry.
After all that food and that big meal, and of course there's calamari and there's shrimp and lobster, we have anise, A-N-I-S-E. It almost looks like a lettuce. It tastes a little bit like peppermint,
right?
And licorice.
Okay.
You take one of those stalks, mom puts some olive oil with salt and pepper and some other herbs, and you dunk it in that, and that helps you digest. It's such a great tool for digestion of the big meal that you've had. And I know I've left something out, but that's the essence of the meal on that day. And I think I told you last year, we do leave as much as our clothing on the porch in the cold because you're going to smell like olive oil, but it's worth it. And the great thing about that meal is you get it once a year. So if you had it every week or you had it every other week, it wouldn't be meaningful to you. But it's so delicious to get it once a year, that Italian meal.
Assemblyman Jim Tedisco, I just want to thank you so much for taking time out of your very busy schedule to be with us every Christmas. You're fantastic.
I thank you for keeping this tradition going. I'd like to see it go for another 29 years. And I look forward to
listening. I'll do my part.
Yes, I'll do my part if you keep coming back, and I hope I can make it. And I always look forward to listening to the traditions and the food and the way other people celebrate the holidays. And I know you're going to have some other great guests on. So
absolutely.
We'll look forward to listening to that. And you have a Merry Christmas, you and your family. And
same
now,
to you. And give my best to your mother.
I will. And now I'm going to let you taste one of these cookies, and I want you to...
Okay,
give me your opinion next time I'm back.
That's a deal.
Okay,
now we've got to go back and see what's going on with Gilroy. Take it away, Gil.
Well, it's time for us to take another short break, but we'll be right back with more holiday cheer here on the Jack Keenan Christmas Special on Talk 1300. Welcome back. You're listening to the 29th Annual Jack Keenan Christmas Special on Talk 1300. Jack's next guest is no stranger to the show. Making a repeat appearance with Jack is Ann Hughes, anchor for Fox 23 News.
Thanks, Gil. This segment of our Christmas show, we have with us Ann Hughes from Fox 23, WXXA-TV. Did I get that all in right?
You did. Happy holidays, Jack.
And the same to you, Ann. And thank you for taking time out of your schedule to be with us. And I know you're one busy lady.
Thank you for the invitation. It's always nice to join you. I get to see this time of year. It's great.
Yeah. And as you know, we want to talk about Christmas. And Christmas has passed primarily because that's my specialty, is going back in time. Mr. Nostalgia.
You're very good at it.
So tell us a little bit about Christmas growing up.
Christmas growing up was always just such, it was the best time of the year. You know, for
sure.
What kid isn't? Christmas is the best time of the year. But it was about family. It was about just our small family on Christmas Eve. And we might have just a little bit to eat and then head off to church, midnight mass, which was really usually like, you know, at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock. It wasn't ever at midnight.
Sure, that's right.
And while we were gone, Santa came, so we'd get home and there'd be presents. And we're probably the only family, or one of the only families, that sleeps in on Christmas morning because all the presents get opened up on Christmas Eve night. So that we never had to wait. You know.
You bring back memories for me because midnight mass, only in my time, it was at midnight. And I was just a little boy and we just lined up across the altar, you know. It was in St. Patrick's in Troy. For all you folks out there, keep sending those letters to me.
And some of those memories, especially church-related ones, you just never forget. My grandmother, Grandma Hughes, was just this fantastic German woman. And I remember vividly whenever they'd sing Silent Night in church, she would sing it in German. And to this day, whenever I hear somebody singing that in German, it just brings tears to my eyes because I have such fond memories of her.
With a name like Hughes, you sing German?
Well, she was a Rubenzer first, so.
Okay, and what do we have planned for this year?
Well,
big turkey dinner?
No, you know, I usually do ham. We have kind of a Christmas Eve open house with family in the afternoon, and then we usually get together with a couple of different families on Christmas Eve night for dinner. And then Christmas morning, it's just the four of us, my husband and our two little girls. And it's great. Natalie is three now, and Leslie's two. Uh-huh. So they're starting to... you know, really get the process that comes along.
They want to know where Santa Claus is.
They want to see Santa. Yes, yes. And we've been telling them. They just were asking the other day about the elves and how the elves help. And I've been telling them, you know, you have to be good. The elves are always watching you. And Leslie, the little one, said, "Well, where are the elves?" And Natalie, the older one, says, "They're in your heart, Leslie."
Oh, I like that. I like that.
They're just so cute. They crack me up.
Oh, that's wonderful, Ann. You're training him properly, that's for sure.
Oh, we're trying. We're trying.
A memorable one from the past, Christmas. Can you relate to anyone Christmas that really stands out in your mind?
You know, I think I've brought this up on your show before, but it's the one Christmas gift that I can't get out of my head was when I got a pogo stick. I must have been in fourth grade, and my mom had gotten it for me. She just wrapped up a little tiny box under the Christmas tree, and I opened it up. It was so light, I wondered what on earth could be in there, and there was just a little piece of paper that said, "Look under your bed." And so I went up, and I didn't have anything under my bed, you know, junk, the way kids tend to store it all under their bed.
And there was
a pogo stick laying under there, and I thought, how on earth did I never see this? How long has this been here? When did she plant this gift? But it was so much fun. It was squeaky. That thing was so squeaky. I went right out on the driveway.
Oh, that's phenomenal. That's great. Yes, I think you did tell me that story once before.
Yeah, it just never leaves my memory. I don't know where the pogo stick is today, but we had a lot of fun with it.
And we heard all about your pogo stick, and that was your favorite Christmas memory.
Oh, definitely.
What about your two young ladies, your girls? What are they looking for?
They're not old enough to write their lists yet, but they definitely know what they want. And Natalie, you know, being the older daughter, speaks for Leslie. And so she said, "I would like a scooter, and Leslie would like a bike helmet." Which is great. So, you know, we'll pass that along to Santa. Leslie is very into books. And if I told you how into books she was, you wouldn't believe me. But she will literally, she takes one into her bed, into her crib every night to sleep with, because she likes books that much. And she's very into, she has a whole fairy tale book right now. And she loves Beauty and the Beast. She loves all those stories. And she wants a Rapunzel video. She's heard the story of Rapunzel and wants the video now.
I can relate to all of this, Anne, because I have 9 grandchildren.
Oh, my goodness.
The youngest just being born in July.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. So let's jump over to Fox 23 News. What's happening over there? Anything we want to know about?
Have you caught our newscast at 11 p.m.?
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the newest thing at our station. Now, Monday through Friday, we do news from 10 to 11:30, which is just fantastic. If there's anyone out there who likes their 10 o'clock hour-long dramas, is just so used to watching news at 11, we're there for you. You know, you can flip over and just check us out at 11. It's a really nice show.
Okay, well, that's great. And I wish you all the luck with that.
Thank you.
Competition is so fierce in this market, you know.
It is. It is.
But you'll do well. You'll do well. And you got a good partner there,
Jenny. I do. And we have wonderful colleagues at the other stations as well. As competitive as we are, I think we all like each other, too.
How close are you with Fox nationally?
We're not, really.
You're not.
No, and a lot of people give us a bit of a bad rap sometimes when they think that we share the same views as Fox Network, and they're really, we get some news pieces from their reporters, but they're really, as a news organization, we are owned by a different company. We're not owned by Fox.
Okay.
So it's just our affiliation.
I liked your comments about opinions. I always thought reporters just reported the news, leave the opinions to the viewer or the listener.
That's still what I think. On the local level, I really do feel like that's the way it happens, and that's the way it should be.
Yeah, I agree with you 100% on that. And it's been a crazy year, as you well know.
Yes.
The state, the federal government, they're all going crazy.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
So. I won't ask you for your opinion because we just
Well, I'll tell you, there's never been a year when politics and the economy both haven't been as large of issues mm-hmm. as they are. And for anyone who might not have been interested in them before because they thought they were boring, I think everything has really hit home in the past year as far as, you know, how much it is important to keep up on those issues as well.
Okay. Another couple of things about Ann Hughes. Where were you born? Where's home?
I'm from Wisconsin, right outside of Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Oh, no kidding. Mm-hmm. Where they make all the beer?
Where they make all the beer, yes, and a lot of cheese, too.
And what motivated you to get into newscasting?
You know, our junior year of high school, we had to do a big career report. It was, our first kind of long-term paper project that had footnotes in it and everything, and you had to choose a career. And it was really a brilliant idea on the school's part because it forced you to think about what you wanted to do after high school. And at the end of it, you were either going to know, I want to look into this more, or I'm not interested in this at all. Mm. So I chose broadcast journalism. And the more I researched it, the more I liked it. I really, you know, writing was my passion. All right. I knew that this was the kind of field that I wanted to be in. So one thing that you had to do then was you had to interview somebody who was in the field. And so the Associated Press editor-in-chief in Washington called me one day. I don't even remember. I feel like I sent him a request for just written information, but he said, you have a half hour of my time. What would you like to know? So we talked about everything under the sun. My heart was beating out of my chest, of course, as we went.
Sure.
And he told me that I should consider Syracuse University. Because he thought it was one of the best schools in the country. So I went out to Syracuse. I thought it was great. I went to college there.
Yeah.
Got my first job at WSYR in Syracuse,
Which
was a talk radio station, right, doing news there. And wouldn't you know it, a couple months after I started working there, somebody mentioned this man's name in the newsroom. And I thought, wait a minute. I talked to him on the phone. They said, oh, yeah, he used to be a news director here a long time ago. So obviously that was his affinity for Syracuse. But right. It served me well, and I really had a great experience there and just kept working along the thruway after college. It was Syracuse, then it was Rochester, then Syracuse again, and now Albany.
All right. So how long have you been at WXXA?
It's since 1998.
Wow.
I know. Coming up on 12 years.
Where does the time go? Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's great. We're glad to have you in the Albany market.
I'm glad to be here.
Right. And I certainly want to thank you again for taking time to be here. Ann Hughes from Fox 23 News, WXXA TV. Did I get it all in?
You did. Thank you. You do such a wonderful job. It's really nice that you do this every year. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being here. And I guess we're going to wrap this segment up and get back to Gil Roy. Gil?
And we're at the end of the second hour of the 29th Annual Jack Keenan Christmas Special. I'm Gil Roy, and you'll want to stay close to your radio for the next hour as Jack sits down with more of your favorite local celebrities. And, of course, the annual Christmas message from His Excellency Bishop Howard Hubbard. It's all just ahead on the 29th Annual Jack Keenan Christmas Special right here on Talk 1300.